Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, where we hear about Elijah, who is clearly in some distress. He has run away from Israel. He's up in a cave on top of a mountain, and he's confronted with the Lord. Elijah thinks that he's all by himself, but the Lord reassures him that he is not alone, and he does that by giving Elijah his word. Of course, we know that our Lord has done the same thing for us, that he comforts us, and the most important way he does that is through his word. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I remember the day that I ran away from home. Okay, so it wasn't really like I ran away from home, but it was kind of close. I wasn't a very rebellious child. I've pretty much been a rule follower my whole life. But there was just this one day when I was really, really mad. I don't know. I think I had to be in like seventh or eighth grade, something like that. And I don't even know how the whole thing got started, but somehow I got into some big disagreement with my dad, and I think it really had something to do with the fact that my brother Andrew and I weren't really getting along that day. And I remember that I was outside, I remember that I was on my bike, and whatever happened, the solution that day was that Andrew and I needed to be separated. So Andrew was sent in the house, and I had to stay outside, which was fine, you know, for a little while, and I just kept riding around my bike, but then it started to rain, and the rain started getting heavier, and all of a sudden, it was pouring, and I figure, well, obviously, I should be able to go back in the house now. It's pouring rain, so I go back to the house, and I knock on the door, and would you believe it? My parents would not let me in, and I was so mad in my middle schooler angst, I stormed off, and I decided that if my parents didn't want me in the house, then I just didn't need to be home at all. So I got on my bike, and I rode to my friend Kevin's house. Now, I grew up in a relatively small town. I mean, not as small as Hoyleton, obviously, but pretty small, safe community. Kevin didn't live very far from me, and so it wasn't like I was unsafe riding to Kevin's house. It's just the fact that my parents had no idea that I had left, right? So I show up there, and I think I'm real clever, and, you know, I go into Kevin's bedroom, and we were playing video games or something, and it took Kevin's parents all of about 5 minutes to figure out that showing up unannounced, soaking wet in the rain, was a little bit fishy. So here comes Kevin's dad, and he's got his phone in his hand, and he makes me call my parents, which was obviously a good thing, right? They were very relieved to find out that I was okay, and it was a little embarrassing, but my dad came over, he drove over to the house, he picked me up, we had a good talk, we went back home, and you know, I apologized for frightening them and everything was back to normal, right? But I did learn a really important lesson that day, and that lesson was that running away from your problems doesn't always work. In fact, it's not always a smart thing to do, and it can make things even worse. When you actually stick around and you fight through whatever difficulties you're going through, that can be so much better for everybody in the end. In reality, that same principle can apply to a lot of different areas of our lives, right? I think, for example, we all know people who have really struggled with their jobs, right? Maybe you've been that person, or maybe you've known that person who just never seems to be satisfied at work. And the very first thing that comes up, some difficulty that arises, some problem, some disagreement with the boss, all of a sudden, now you're looking for a brand new job, right? Or you're looking for an opportunity to quit and go do something else. And that might feel like the easier thing to do at the time, but, you know, when you keep bouncing around from one job to the next, it's really hard to get established in your career, right? Unfortunately, we see the same things happen in families all too often. We see marriages fall apart. We see parents and children become estranged from one another. We see how sometimes people will go a year or 5, 10, 20 years without ever talking to each other just because of some grudge that they're holding on to that really doesn't even matter in the end, but it's just one of these things that just keeps us apart, right? And it feels at the time like the right thing to do. It feels like the easiest thing to do. If I just avoid that person, if I just not talk to them, if I just kind of cut them off, if I run away from that problem, that's going to be easier, right? But in fact, what we find out is that if we actually put in the time to repair a relationship, that can work out a whole lot better for us. Now, obviously, I understand that every situation is different. Maybe you're dealing with something like that in your family, and I understand you can't always control what somebody else says or does. I get that. But my point is, oftentimes what feels like the easier thing to do, just run away, that will oftentimes be the thing that brings us the most pain and the most heartache in the end. And this is really where Elijah comes in. 40 days and 40 nights, that's how long Elijah had been traveling, or if we're being honest, we'll say that's how long Elijah had been running away from his problems by the time we find him here in chapter 19, up in a cave on top of a mountain. Elijah thought that he wanted to be all by himself. He thought that he wanted to be alone. He thought that he never wanted to step foot in Israel ever again. In fact, he really actually thought that he wanted to die. Now, just to give you a little bit of context here as to why Elijah is in such distress and anguish by the time we find him in this passage, I want to share with you just a little bit of what happens in the chapter before this one, in chapter 18. See, Elijah had basically been operating under the assumption at this point that he was the only one in all of Israel that still cared about God. He was the only one who was still faithful to the one true God and still believed in his word. It seemed like everybody else all around Elijah had gone after Baal and Asherah, the false gods of the Canaanites. And so the thing is, in chapter 18, Elijah has this amazing moment where he actually has this opportunity to prove once and for all that Yahweh is the one and only God. It's this famous story of the showdown that Elijah has with the prophets of Baal, and they set up these two altars. One's to Baal and one is to Yahweh, the Lord. And they put these sacrifices on the altars, and the true God is the one who's going to be able to send fire down from heaven and consume these sacrifices. And of course, Yahweh's the only one who's actually able to do this. And so Elijah has this amazing victory, right? And you would think that he'd be all on top of the world at this point, feeling really good about the way that that went. But it didn't take very long for all of the fear and distress and anxiety to creep back in, because almost immediately after that whole scene, the evil queen Jezebel sends Elijah a message, which basically says that she's going to make sure that he gets killed. So now, that's the last straw for Elijah. And he decides that he's just going to run away. He's just going to run away from Israel and never come back. And that's where we find him here in chapter 19. He's up on top of a mountain in a cave. He's alone. He's got nothing to eat. And honestly, from his perspective, he has no reason to live. You can kind of understand it. You can understand why Elijah wanted to run away. You can understand that, you know, if your life is being threatened by the most powerful woman in the whole kingdom, that, you know, you're probably not going to want to stick around. There's nothing irrational about Elijah's decision to run away. But at this extreme low point in his life, the problem is that we see Elijah trusting in the wrong things. Rather than trusting in the Lord, when the going got tough and Elijah needed a savior, he turned to himself and his own ability to run away from it all. And then he turns to this cave, this temporary shelter on top of a mountain, which might seem like a good solution for an hour or two, or maybe for a day. But hiding in a cave is not going to solve all of Elijah's problems. hiding in a cave isn't going to make Elijah all of a sudden satisfied with his job as a prophet of the Lord. Hiding in a cave isn't going to allow Elijah to all of a sudden reconcile with his family, the other children of Israel. Hiding in a cave is kind of like me getting on my bike in the rain and going to Kevin's house. It's okay for 5 minutes, but it's not home. And so God has to have a little talk with Elijah. He appears to Elijah. He tells Elijah to get out of the cave and go up to the mountain. And the Lord passes by Elijah. There's this great strong wind, but the text tells us that the Lord is not in the wind. And then there's this big earthquake, but the Lord's not in the earthquake either. And then there's a fire, but the Lord's not in the fire. Then we hear that there is a low whisper. And Elijah hears that whisper, and it seems as though that is the moment when Elijah gets it. That God and his comfort are not going to be found in the things of this world. They're not going to be found in the wind and the earthquake and the fire or even the cave. God's comfort comes to us in his word. That's where God was to be found that day. And that word is ultimately what gave Elijah the strength that he needed to go on. And that word reminded Elijah in this passage that Elijah is not alone. That actually there are 7,000 others in Israel who are just like Elijah, who still trust in God and still trust in his promises and believe his word. And that word then is what leads Elijah to get off the mountain and to go back home and to do the things that God had called him to do. Thanks be to God, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. When this entire world was in distress and anguish, and sin had its chokehold on the entire human race because of sin, God did not save us through the things of this world. Instead, he saved us by sending his word, by sending Jesus Christ to come into the world, to come into this fallen creation, to destroy death with his death, to overcome sin by becoming sin for us. Jesus died on the cross to ensure that all of God's children would be able to stand before his throne and live with him in his kingdom forever. On Good Friday, Jesus' body was laid in a cave-like tomb. But on Easter morning, 3 days later, the Lord was not in the cave. The Lord was not in the wind or anything like that. The Lord was and is risen from the dead, giving hope to the hopeless, giving shelter to those who feel as though they are locked outside of their own houses in the rain. When you feel that temptation to run away, when that pressure and anxiety and anger builds up inside you and you just can't take it anymore, don't just do the things that your sinful nature wants to convince you are the easiest things to do. Don't run away from God. Don't run away from his church. Don't run away from his word when things don't go the way you'd like them to in your life. Instead, if you're going to run, run to Jesus. Run into his arms. Run right here to his altar. Run to him because he's the only one who can truly change things and make them right again. Run like you've never run before. Into his grace and mercy. Because only he is coming to pick you up and bring you back home, which is where you and I belong. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.